Welcome to I Am Anna Man. This week is all about my sister, Jane Mann.
Phil, what should we talk about now? Family?
Family? Mm-hmm. Okay, family. Did I want to talk about family? Yeah, mothers and daughters, sons.
Mothers, daughters, aunts.
Have you got family?
I've got parents, yeah.
Right, lovely, lovely. I had two parents, sadly now. Well, I'd pretty much got half of one, if you know what I mean. But then I'm very old, you know. It's difficult, isn't it, when your parents go? Because who's going to pay for stuff? You know, that's what I found when my dad went. And also, who's going to drive me? Mm-hmm. Who's going to do my headshots? Who's going to clean my toilet? You know, who's going to take me to the prom? Mm-hmm. I mean, I was well into my 50s, so the prom was, I mean, I don't know. I wasn't ruling it out, but it probably wasn't going to happen if it hadn't happened by 50. As I've always said, if you haven't been to a prom by the time you're 50, you're probably not going to end up going to a prom.
Yeah.
Unless you're a teacher, which I wasn't. Mm-hmm. I wasn't allowed. But my dad, well, I mean, he would carry my bags, you know, my handbags. Because I always had a couple. Very little man. Mm-hmm. Really small chap, tiny, really, really, honestly, very,
really?
barely visible to the naked eye.
Wow. Really.
But a wonderful man, very creative.
What did he do?
Well, he was creative. He wasn't creative in his work, you know, his work, he was sort of a bin man. He was a bin man, you know, but he was, so he could be a bit rough and ready when he needed to be, you know, but he was also a cobbler for a bit. And he worked on the boats, you know. Uh-huh. Just sort of, he did this and that, really.
Jack of all trades.
Skilled in a way that people aren't nowadays, you know. He could just drill a hole in anything. Give him a drill and he'd just, you know. Mm. He could drill a hole in anything. But he couldn't. He didn't know what to do next. And we ended up, the house had a lot of holes in it. And mother would get very angry with him. She was very cruel. She ruled the household, really. You know, she was a real matriarch. Ruled it with an iron fist and a gammy leg and a very squinty eye. Didn't get on with mum. And it's sad, you know, because I think about my relationship with my mother. She would tease me. She would make fun of me. Yes, as a girl and as a woman, you know. And I never, you know, I've just got to that point in my life where I feel like I can really say to her, you know, push off, mum. You're wrong, and I'm right, you know. But sadly, you know, she's in the home and she's losing her marbles, so it's, you know, which is just like her, I have to say. But no, Dad was lovely, very creative, played the guitar like no one else. He played it like a flute. It sounded very bad, very bad. But he'd often tell these stories, you know, of his time. His time in the army. He was in the army briefly. Mm. He was sort of a radio man. You know, he did. He'd work the radios. You know, in the army when they have radios.
Yeah.
He was the radios.
Okay.
I think. Once he told me a story, a very very sad story about when he was in the war, of course. And he was fighting the good fight. You know, fighting the Nazis.
Yeah.
And he was there and he was you know, giving them what for, and he was a hero, really was, you know. And then it was a dream because he'd never been in the war.
Oh.
And that was so sad, you know, because he would have loved to have been in the war, but he was a little bit too late, you know. Yeah. He would have been in his 70s, you know, but so he was actually only a child, a very little child during the war. Very little. I mean, like I say, tiny, really little man. And mum, you know, when they got in a fight, mum would just pick him up and throw him out the window. And it's horrible to see that. Very demasculating. We had a lovely little dog called Cassie. Mm. I don't know if I've told you about this before,
no,
but she would come up and she would chat to me when mum and dad had been fighting, you know. And she was very clever for a dog.
Yeah.
She was my only real friend, you know. Just picture me there in the conservatory, you know, full of holes. Even in the glass. He'd try and drill holes in glass and just shatter. He was terrible at DIY. Mm. There I'd be in the conservatory. Just a lonely little child, just... I mean, I had brothers and sisters, but they were all shits.
Yeah.
So there I'd be... So there I'd be just, you know, in the corner, just twiddling my thumbs. I had a collection of sort of thumbs, and sort of stone thumbs that I collected. I used to break them off statues, and then I'd just twiddle them. You know, twiddle. You know when you twiddle. It was a game, you probably don't. You're too young. Back in the 60s, we used to play a game called Twiddle Your Thumbs, and you'd each have a couple of thumbs, and you'd twiddle them.
Yeah.
It was sort of tiddlywinks, but with thumbs and... And we're twiddling. All on my own, because no one wanted to twiddle their thumbs with me, you know.
But with the dog.
But with the dog. So the Cassie, bless her, would come up to me and she'd sing a song. And it would go a little bit like this. Was lovely, you know. Bless her. We actually got it translated recently by a sort of dog whisperer. I got my husband to do it for me.
Wow.
Keith, or whatever his name is, and came out like this. The world is out there for you somewhere, you see. The universe is turning as it should. Sadly, the next bit was untranslatable, you know, but still not bad for 20 quid from the RSPCA. It wasn't 20 quid back then. I mean, there wasn't an RSPCA. We just sort of found her, really.
On the street, she spent?
Well, no, in a pet shop, and then we bought her. It was one of the only things my mum bought me, really, apart from the car and the, you know, studio flat and all that stuff, and, you know, the clothes and so on.
It's not the same.
Holidays. No. She never cared. She never gave a shit about me. It was all my big sister, Jane. You know? Once long ago I did something so good, so wonderfully good, and it was good. Once long ago I did something so bad, so terribly bad, I can't say what. And the rest of the time I did nothing at all, really nothing at all, nothing at all. Jane Mann was trouble, okay? Jane Mann was very much the, you know, the wonderful Betty Davis and Joan Crawford. You know, she was the Betty Davis to my Joan Crawford.
Right.
She was, there was a darkness in her, in Jane, and a cleverness, a cunning. She was very, she had street smarts, you know?
Mm. What does she do now?
Well, here's the thing. I mean, Mum loved Jane. Dad kept out of the way because he knew he could smell a rat. But Mum loved Jane, always giving her stuff, always treating her like a princess. You know, oh, Jane's so good. Why can't you be like Jane, Anna? Why can't you be like Jane? But of course, what no one had cottoned on to was that Jane, well, Jane was a character that I was playing, you see, and passing off as my twin.
Ah.
I mean, Mummy would say... You know, it's funny, Anna, I don't remember you having twins when you were born, you know, but and I go, oh, but you had all those drugs then. And she goes, of course, you know.
Okay.
Because you had to have a lot of drugs, you know, it was a very difficult birth because I was punching my way out. Don't you worry, and I've been doing it ever since, Phil.
Hmm.
But, so she became convinced Jane was real. And
she never suspected?
Jane got enrolled at school.
Okay.
You know, she used to buy clothes for Jane and me. Jane, you know, talking about the prom, you know, we didn't call it a prom back in Britain, of course, but the dance, you know, Jane was the prom queen. And,
okay.
And Anna, annoyingly, was voted, you know, the worst girl.
Worst girl,
which is cruel, isn't it? And I don't think that's very clever, actually. St. Bartholomew's. I can't remember what school I went to, but let's assume it was something like that.
Yeah.
And, yeah, Jane would get into all sorts, you know, and she never had to cook, she never had to clean, whereas I was like Cinderella, you know, and they were the ugly sisters.
Mm.
And it got a bit messy in my brain, you know. It got a bit hard for me to tell. It was very tricky. And the other, I mean, Cassie would growl and bark at Jane. She'd go crazy, she'd bite her hand, you know. Oh. Anna, she'd sing her songs and stuff. And this carried on into adult life.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, there was the case where I got done for bigamy. You know, because, of course, I was married to someone, or Jane was married to someone.
Of course, yeah.
And then, I didn't get done until much later, of course. Oh, no, I never got down for it, actually. No. They never found out. No, forgive me. I forget what's... Because I've been in so many plays, you know, I can never remember what's my life and what's fiction. But, I was a bigamist for years and no one knew. And the two husbands were best friends. That was the weirdest thing. Both had kids, different kids, you know, with different husbands.
Jane had children.
Kid. It was very hard to keep up. I mean, I should have won an Oscar for this. I really should, because this was... But, of course, Jane won the Oscar, didn't she? You know, because it carried on into our careers.
Mm.
And it's a little galling, I have to say, that Jane became known as this... You know, she was the female De Niro, or whatever it was they used to call her. All this stuff, you know, they used to say that she was acting personified, you know, that she was the greatest Cleopatra since ever. You know, she was... All these things, and Anna, you know, God, I'd be lucky if I could get a read through, I'd be reading the stage directions, you know, and eventually, yeah, she won it. She won the Oscar.
Now it's been years since you've gone. All the years we saved up for gone by. Now I am old, you're eternally young, but your time was as brief as a flight.
Eventually, of course, I had to kill her and go out and explain what had happened. And it can be a little, shall we say, it can be a little galling to remember, to be stood there with your crowd, your fans, telling you to fuck off and be someone else that doesn't exist. And, I mean, that's when I had my fourth breakdown. You know, that's when it all really felt shit.
Yeah.
I
mean, did you not... Was there ever a point where you thought maybe...
Be Jane? Jane wouldn't have liked me. You know? She wouldn't have let that happen. She was too powerful. I had to burn her off. In the end. Like a wart. And it was difficult because she'd been with me since year dot, you know.
Yeah.
Because I was in this unhappy household and treated like a leper by my own mother, I'd had to create this imaginary friend who then I became, this sister who I created. But, you know, this body ain't big enough for the both of us, you know. There's only one Anna. Sorry, Jane, you had to go.
Do you miss her? Do you think about her?
I think about her a lot. Sometimes I just start laughing uncontrollably. And it's when I remember some of the stuff we used to get up to. Because it was wild, you know, egging people.
Mm-hmm.
Moonies. Knock it all run. Stuff like that, you know. Jane would be the knocking. I was too scared. I mean, I'd be, no, don't do it, Jane, but knock it all round.
Yeah.
And I do miss her. I was talking to Keith the other day, my husband, I think he's named Keith, and he was saying, but Anna, how do you know, how do I know that Jane didn't kill Anna?
Oh, yeah.
And I went, fuck.
Yeah.
That's a very good, oh, God.
She had opportunity.
Well, how do I know I'm not Jane and Anna's? You see?
That's true.
She was clever enough.
Yeah.
She was clever enough, and she could convince herself.
Mm.
How do you know this isn't Jane?
Yeah.
You don't.
It's a scary thought.
It's a terrifying thought.
Best not to think about it.
Best not to think about it, you know. Until she's stood over you while you're asleep with a butcher's knife.
And you have to deal with it.
Then you've got to do something, you know. But that's what I said to Keith. And he, I mean, I don't know. He's moved out of the family home for now, you know. But we're working things through, sort of thing. Jane. To Jane.
To Jane.
This podcast is dedicated to Jane Mann. Long may she cause trouble wherever it is she be. If she isn't me. Lord, and I'm not saying either. So,
here I am. Here I am. Here I am. Then I'm gone. Here I am. Here I am. Here I am. And then I'm gone.
If you want to see more, have a little look on the website, which is colinholt.net. Colin Holt, H-O-U-L-T. It's just a name I picked at random. Colin Holt, H-O-U-L-T.net, where you can find some information on my tour dates. Anna is going to be appearing, doing a world tour of, mainly Bath. But there are some other places there. So you can see me throughout the year performing my wonderful show, How We Stop the Fascists, on the YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
YouTube, Colin Holt Comedy. Again, just a name I picked at random. Colin Holt, H-O-U-L-T Comedy. Lots of videos of me and some of my other friends. My next appearance is Anna Mann's Cheese and Sex Party, which is at the Soho Theatre. I've been Anna Mann. This has been Phil Gerard. Goodbye. You've been listening to I Am Anna Mann. Please do subscribe and leave a review if you want to, but you must.